Well, it appears that we have landed on Valentine's Day a few weeks early. Today we read the great love chapter from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or rude. If I have faith to move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. This is one of the most popular wedding reasons with readings, with good reason. When people commit themselves to each other, how do I love this person for the long haul through whatever life throws at us, or no matter how I look in the morning, becomes a really important question. For life, not just for marriage. Because while we might choose the person we spend our life with, most of our other core relationships are not chosen. It's not up to me who my parents are, or my siblings, or my children. I don't get to choose my neighbors or my classmates. I don't choose the people who are in Christian community with me. Now, of course, I can choose which church I go to, but for most of the life of the church, that wasn't really an option. So we never lack opportunities to practice love. And if we put that together with the call to a Jesus-shaped life, love one another becomes the thing that defines our walk with God. Another love chapter, 1 John 4, says it this way. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is made complete in us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God is them. The center of our faith is 100% love. And our lives become about working out the question, how do I love like Jesus? And as we walk this question out, God transforms us. God transforms us by asking us to live in love, especially in situations where it's not our natural response. When love is not our natural response, and we need to rely on the loving power of the Holy Spirit to help us do it. Love is how we share the life of God. Here are a couple of voices from the early church. The first is from Justin Martyr, who lived 100 years after the New Testament happened, so not long after the last of the original apostles died. Martyr is not an unfortunate last name. Justin did, in fact, die for his faith. In this quotation, he talks about transformed love as the defining quality of followers of Jesus. He writes, "We who used to value the acquisition of wealth and possessions more than anything else now bring what we have into a common fund and share it with anyone who needs it. We used to hate and destroy one another and refuse to associate with people of another race or country. Now, because of Christ, we live together with such people and pray for our enemies." The second quotation is from Tertullian, one of the early theologians, who lived a generation or two after Justin. He contrasts people outside the church with what they see in followers of Jesus. He says, "But it's mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many to put a brand upon us. See, they say, how they love one another, for they themselves are animated by mutual hatred. How they are ready even to die for one another, for they themselves will sooner put to death. And they are wroth with us too, because we call each other brethren, for no other reason, as I think, than because among themselves names of this relationship are assumed in mere pretense of affection." Love is the mark of following Jesus. Growing in love is the pattern of our lives of faith. It comes from the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And because it is so much the heart of following Jesus, it is particularly vulnerable to twisting and corrupting forces. And I need to pause and make a disclaimer here, and I hate that I have to do this when I talk about love. But these verses have been used not more than once to justify oppression and harm. I've met people who spent so long existing for everyone else in the name of love and service that they're unable to stop being busy. The world might tell them, go have a spa day, do some self-care. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it doesn't address the reality that what calls itself love can sometimes become shallow and a cause for resentment. It can distract from inner work, leaving no room to draw nourishment from its source in God and return as a joyful offering to God. That's one way love can be distorted. Another way love can be distorted is when it justifies abuse. I remember watching, I think it was Oprah years ago, and she had this woman on as a guest who desperately wanted to be a good wife and do everything right. I can still remember the pain in her voice as she kept pleading, just help me be a better wife. I think she would have said that the source of her great distress was her own inadequacy and her own ego. But when her husband came on the show, it was painfully obvious that she had been put down for so long that she could not see how her husband was manipulating her and keeping her life constrained in order to maintain his own self-centered sense of control. Love needs discernment. So it's important to say from this virtual pulpit that this call to love must not be justification for staying in an abusive relationship. It is not to be twisted into an excuse for leaving someone vulnerable in a place where they might be harmed. Love is not a doormat. Love grows us together into the heart of God. So with those footnotes, we return to 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote this letter to a church that was divided and squabbling. This Corinthian church must have known very well that Jesus taught them to love one another. But how that worked out in real life is a whole lot more difficult. So Paul lays it out for them. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love looks like Jesus. Like Jesus, it outlasts this life. And love makes room for others. We all know that love sometimes requires stepping back. Loving a small child means giving up my sleep, my angry responses, my own free time. But when I step back, I give that child room to thrive. That's an action of love. Or maybe love means that I set aside being right so that a relationship can grow. It's why it's so hard. It's why we need Jesus. Stepping back, learning to create space out of love, takes a lifetime and more. And that's why, given the rallies this weekend and the suffering we've seen and experienced in the pandemic, it's so difficult to see Christians adopting rhetoric that puts rights at the center of things. A Jesus-shaped love has never been about using my voice and my platform to shore up my own rights. The rights of the vulnerable, yes. The forgotten, yes. The poor and the oppressed, absolutely. But my rights don't get to be the center. Because for Jesus, love was about giving up every right he had for the good of the human family. The love of God requires the same heart from us. Love defines us. Love transforms us. Love challenges us. Love sets itself aside and reaches out because love looks like Jesus on the cross. Love never ends. Prophecies will come to an end. Tongues will cease. Knowledge will end. We know and we prophesy only in part, but the partial will end when what is complete arrives. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully. even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love.